You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, January 15th, 2024. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com, kicking off your work week wherever you may be. If you're in the U.S., there's a good chance you may be somewhere cold. I'm in Texas. It's not supposed to be cold here, and yet here I am freezing. I can't flush my toilet today because the toilet is on the north side of the house and the plumbing somewhere underneath. Has gotten frozen, so it won't flush. I do got water everywhere else in the house. I'm doing okay, but we may wind up with some buzzing in the background. If you hear that, try not to be annoyed. I'll try to edit it out if it's too bad, but I'm running my heater. No, I will not turn my... I love y'all, and I do my best to have a high-quality show, but I'm not turning the heater off to freeze while doing the show. Besides, it'd be louder if my teeth are chattering. I live in Texas because I don't do cold, and yet here I am. There's snow on the ground today. It's frigid. I don't like it one bit. But I am soldiering on, and thankfully, because I am in Texas, this is only supposed to last another day or so, and then it'll thaw out, warm back up. I don't know how those of y'all who live in cold climates, I don't know how y'all do it. But of course, likewise, y'all, if you come here during the summertime, you're like, how do y'all live with this heat? It's just crazy. I guess it's all what you get acclimated to. Well, one thing we don't get acclimated to is the fact that Sven Longshanks continues to be in prison, and we're going to keep on remembering him, and I've continued to put his support links up here on the Daily Nationalist show. Encourage you to take a moment, drop him a postcard, just even if it just says, hi, we're thinking of you. It doesn't have to be something great, long, or profound, but drop him a note. I use the email service. It's still slow because, like any other mail, it has to be read and scanned and gone through. So, you know, but internationally speaking, you know, sending international mail, I think that's the better way to go. But whatever, you do you. Just please don't forget Sven. And again, I hope you can drop him a note of support or whatever and let him know we're thinking about him. Because you see, we remember our own here. We continue. It is up to us as individuals to remember those who are persecuted for the truth, to remember those who, you know, are in trouble. To try our best, to do our best, to take care of our own. This is a little community. It's not a huge community. What we have here is a certain form of community. You live in a community yourself. Whether that community is really small, like just your very immediate family or perhaps your extended family, maybe you're friends with your neighbors, maybe you're popular in your town and you've got people in your community. But regardless of the scale, it is up to us to look after those in our community, because the government sure as heck isn't going to. It falls to us, and we have to do our best to look after those in the community. And this leads us into what I wanted to talk about today, and which is the case, I'm sure y'all have heard of it by now, of Gonzalo Lira, who was killed. He was murdered in a Ukrainian prison. And I don't really want, and my intent for this discussion today, and I am going to reference an article just to kind of set us up some background here. But what I'm really not looking to talk about this person himself in particular, but to use him as how this is an example of something, in a lot of ways, something bigger, something that's much more evident of the collapse of the legitimacy, what little legitimacy might be left of this government, of this system. This comes from RT, and what I'm going to do is a little different here. what I want to do here is go ahead and read through the entirety of the article because it's not very long. So bear with me on that. Because I'm not really going to talk about Gonzalo Lyra in particular, but as an example, and as an example of what I do want to discuss today. So let just bear with me as I run through this, and I may not even read the entire thing, but just to give us a background. Again, this comes from RT. It's dated January 12, 2024, with a headline of State Department confirms death of U.S. journalist jailed by Ukraine, and that's from the TASS. Chilean-American blogger Gonzalo Lyra has died in a Ukrainian prison, Russian news agency TASS said on Saturday, citing a response it received from the U.S. Department of State. The blogger's death was first announced by his family on Friday. Lyra, 55, at the time of his death, lived in Kharkov and blogged as Coach Red Pill, but switched to YouTube commentary after Russia launched its military operation in Ukraine in February 2022. He was arrested by the SBU of Ukraine last May and accused of, quote, discrediting the Ukrainian leadership and military. I cannot accept the way my son has died. He was tortured, extorted, incommunicado for 8 months and 11 days, and the U.S. Embassy did nothing to help my son. The responsibility of this tragedy is the dictator Zelensky, with the concurrence of a senile American president, Joe Biden. His father, Gonzalo Lyra Sr., wrote in a note published by The Gray Zone. Lyra Sr. also reached out to ex-host Tucker Carlson, confirming the death of his son in Ukrainian custody. He'd spoken to Carlson about the case in early December. Now, I'm going to stop there. There's some other things and some other articles where Gonzalo Lyra had stated that Victoria Nuland personally hated his guts, and apparently nobody has refuted that. The point I want to make here is citizenship used to mean something. I'm not one of these people who just now that the whole system is like in a heap and on fire pretends like, you know, well, 10 years ago the system was just fine. This is just a new sudden thing. I'm very much aware that the system has been corrupt for a very long time. It is just now metastasized to the point that now anybody can see it. You know, you don't have to work at it. It's in your face. I do get that. I don't have rose-colored glasses on that, you know, it used to be less so, but it was less evident. And in a way, I guess in a way, it was, though it was corrupt, it was less so in the sense that citizenship used to mean something. I'm not ancient, but I am getting up in some years, and I can tell you, because I realize if you're like in your 20s or something, you don't understand, you know, you don't have that experience. You didn't live it. You didn't see it when things were very different. There was a time not that long ago, honestly, from my own perspective, when being a citizen meant something. It didn't look, if an American was overseas in any country, and you know, that government, whether they were a friend or foe of the U.S. government, seized them just for politically motivated. I'm not talking about, well, they got caught trying to smuggle cocaine out, but politically motivated, grabbed an American citizen and put them in custody, they would walk very easily. You know, what am I trying to say? They would tread very carefully on this, because they knew there would be repercussions, friend or foe of the U.S. government. They would be really, really careful about this. Now, I'm sure, of course, all of you are very much aware that the U.S. government has sent billions and billions of dollars to the Ukraine, much of which I'm sure has been laundered and come back to the very politicians who have sent it. Ukraine is just a cesspit of corruption. And I don't think anybody really even argues that point. So you add to this that the Ukraine is a dependent state. They are dependent on money from the U.S. There's no way, shape, or form that you can imagine a situation where a high-ranking official at the U.S. government could not call the Ukraine up and say, this is an American citizen. He may be an asshole and you don't like him. We don't like him either. He's still a U.S. citizen. You need to just let him go to Hungary. He tried to flee to Hungary at some point and got caught by border guards. You know, you need to let him go. And it would have happened, you know, because implicit, the U.S. government doesn't ask anybody to do anything. It's a, there's the unspoken or else at the end of that. There will be consequences. And again, in my lifetime, whether a country was friend, foe, in between, it was understood that you didn't just grab a U.S. citizen, do whatever the hell you wanted to with them. If the U.S. government, if a high-ranking government official called up your people and said, you need to let this guy go, there was an implicit or else. There would be consequences. Why? Not because the government cared about that person as an individual, but because citizenship meant something. Because that was a U.S. citizen, and in that sense, that person was a representative of the U.S. itself, and in days gone by, that meant something. The government would take that as a personal insult unto them. You know, it's like if the mob makes a shop owner pay them protection money, you know, which is just basically a payoff. But then somebody from outside of the mob comes in and starts harassing the shop owner. That person doing the harassing is going to get cracked down on by the mob because they're stepping on their territory and it's considered an insult to the mafia. It's not that the mafia would care about the shop owner per se as an individual person, but it was an insult to the mob that you would go in their territory and harass one of their people who's they're forcing to pay protection money to. Maybe not the best illustration, but you get the point. It would be considered a thumb in the nose of the U.S. government itself to take a citizen, which in normal times a government is responsible for, and grab them up into custody, treat them poorly, and much less murder them. And you know, there's a little bit of obviously, there's a little bit of fuzziness in the details of what happened to Gonzalo Lira, but he died in prison from like a collapse. They were torturing him. There's something else. In my lifetime, there wouldn't be anybody dare torture a U.S. citizen. I remember back when the revolution happened in Iran, and there was much ado about the American hostages at the embassy, and they kept them hostage there for a long time. And, you know, there was a lot of flag waving and people upset because how dare they take these American citizens hostage. And, you know, people were upset. The government proved itself to be basically inept at doing anything about it. But say what they will, there was a lot of hysteria whipped up at the time over it. But the Iranians did not torture them. They did not torture them. I want to take this a step further. All of this kvetching and hand-wringing over these hostages that Hamas has taken. And don't get me wrong, I'm not in any way belittling the trauma that those people who were taken hostage, that their family or they themselves are going through. I get that. But with all that is being raised up about that, from the Israeli government and the U.S. government, which are basically one and the same, there's really no accusation here. Well, they have, but it has been so ludicrous that nobody has taken it seriously. Nobody really believes that Hamas is torturing these hostages. Let that sink in. They keep demonizing and going on and on and on about Hamas. But really, nobody is making the believable accusation that while these Israelis are being held by Hamas, that Hamas is just sitting around with nothing else to do, so they're torturing these people. They're just, for recreation, they're torturing these Israelis that they've taken hostage. Because what would the point of that even be? What would Hamas get out of torturing these hostages? There's nothing to gain here. Normal thing. I mean, look, torture is never okay. I mean, it's not. But at least if somebody, if a government is torturing somebody, you would assume it's because, you know, they're trying to get some sort of vital information. They're trying to break up a spy ring, for instance, and or they're trying to find out, you know, where this arms shipment is headed to and what they're planning to do with it. You expect that there is an actual reason. But there would be no reason for Hamas to torture these Israeli hostages. What are they going to tell them? There's nothing they can tell them. It's not going to stop what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. Likewise, what the hell is the point of torturing Gonzalo Lira? I mean, what's he going to tell them? You know, I'm sorry. Oh, you were right all along, and you guys are the good guys. Now, please quit kicking me in my broken ribs. I can't breathe. He had a collapsed lung. He literally couldn't breathe. He's not getting the George Floyd treatment in the U.S. media, I can tell you that. In fact, here it is, an American citizen had been murdered by the Ukraine, which is solely dependent on U.S. support to exist. And the network media this morning didn't even mention it. There's no mention of a U.S. citizen who's tortured in a Ukrainian prison and died in custody. You know, this literally tells us that you would be, and I'm not being over the top. This isn't hyperbole in any way, shape, or form. This tells us that you would literally be better off in the custody of Hamas than you are custody of the Ukraine. I mean that 100%. I don't know how you look at the facts of this and come to any other conclusion. The Israeli hostages being held by Hamas are in greater danger from being, you know, the victim of a U.S. bomb dropped by Israel on their position than they are Hamas killing them. There's no point for Hamas killing them. In fact, at this point, I was thinking this morning because I saw another story. I'm trying not to get too far off topic, but I saw a story this morning that Hamas has released a video of some of these Israeli hostages that are somehow still managed to not be killed by all these bombs that Israel is dropping, and, you know, to show that they're still alive. And then at the end, it says you will know their fate tomorrow, which sounds sinister. You know, you will know their fate tomorrow. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the smartest thing Hamas could do with these hostages, the most valuable thing they could get out of it, not from a moral standpoint, but just tactically speaking, the tactical smart move that Hamas could do right now would be to publicly march these hostages out and release them, you know, release them to like an international authority, somebody, you know, to march out and release these hostages. Because it takes away what little bit of excuse that Israel has for what they're doing. You know, there's a lot of uproar in the domestic front, you know, in Israel, you know, that these hostages they find a way to release these hostages, and the Netanyahu government hasn't shown any interest in that. Once again, this says that being a citizen in Israel doesn't mean nearly as much as it apparently used to either. Say what you want about, you know, Israel and their government. But this, too, I remember a time when if someone took an Israeli hostage somewhere, you know, it was expected that the Israeli government would do everything they could to get those citizens back. You know, whether it's brutal, whatever, they would send a commando team in. It didn't matter. They would find a way to go try to get those people back or die trying. They had that reputation, and it was to a certain extent an earned reputation. But what now? They're carpet bombing the very areas that where they know the hostages are. They know when they drop these bombs, they know that the potential to kill these Israeli citizens is there. It's very real. My gosh, we had the incident, several weeks ago, to where whether they were released or they just got away, You had these Israeli hostages that got free and they stripped down naked, were waving a white flag and went out there to the Israeli troops. And what happened? They gunned them down. They gunned down their own citizens. You could say, well, they were afraid. They thought it was a trick. They tried to come up with all these excuses. Look, the excuses don't change the fact. They gunned down their own citizens. So once again, what does it mean? What is the value of being a citizen of Israel? What is the value of being a citizen of the United States? When a foreign country that is dependent on your support, I mean, they are a dependent state. Look, the U.S. government tells them to jump and they're going to ask how high because they're holding up the money. If the U.S. government decides tomorrow that Zelensky's got to go, he will be gone. I made the remark recently, I believe in his, I don't remember. These shows run together. But I was remarking recently that, you know, I read between the lines of some of these stories coming out of the Ukraine, and I'm starting to get this impression. I've been getting this impression now for a little bit that, you know, the subtle hint is being given that it's about time for Zelensky to go. It's time for him to grab. If I was Zelensky, I would be looking, you know, I would be taking the hint and be looking to grab my suitcases full of money and retreat to my villa in Florida or Paris or wherever the hell, Tel Aviv, I don't know, and take my money and go. It's time to go. I think the guy is addicted to the whole celebrity status and being treated like a rock star in his green t-shirt or whatever, and he's not taking the hint. But the thing is, it's a hint at this point. If they decide that they want to get a little more forceful, he'll be gone. The point is, if the U.S. says do this, they're going to do it. There's not going to be any, you can't tell us what to do. And obviously, the U.S. either said nothing, and in so saying nothing, gave their implied consent that is just go ahead. It's not as though the U.S. government had no idea this guy was being tortured in prison. But of course, Ukraine policy is probably 90% at least being managed by Victoria Nuland. And Gonzalo Lira himself said she hates his guts. We know she basically ran the whole operation to overthrow the government back in 2014. So that's a believable thing. So Victoria Nuland decides whether or not your citizenship means anything. And obviously it doesn't mean anything, at least not to Victoria Nuland. And there's a story told in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul gets mobbed by the Jews and they whip up a lynch mob against him and they're fixing to lynch the Apostle Paul. Bear with me on this. And word gets back to the Roman authorities. So, you know, the authorities send a troop down there and grab him out of this mob. They have no idea what's going on with this. So they grab him, take him into custody. You know, they basically have him locked up. They've got him in custody because they're trying to figure out what's going on. Why is there a mob whipped up against this guy? And they kind of figure out more or less what's going on, that, you know, and they're like, well, we'll just flog this guy and release him. You know, maybe they'll be happy that we flogged him and the mob will disperse and that'll be good enough. And as they're holding him in custody and this discussion has taken place, Paul speaks up in a question and he says, is it really okay to flog me without a trial when I'm a Roman citizen? And everything stops. Everybody involved, as far as the Roman authorities, basically shit a brick in that moment. Because you don't just grab a Roman citizen without cause and put them in custody and put them in chains, much less flog them without any sort of trial. Everybody involved in the Roman system, the police or the troop that's sent here and the commanders, all of a sudden took a very different tone because you didn't do that. You see, because being a Roman citizen meant something. The commander of the guard says, how are you a Roman citizen? He said, I had to pay a lot of money to get my citizenship. And Paul explained, yes, but I'm sure you did. But I was born as a Roman citizen. I have birthright citizenship in Rome. You see, it meant something. This guy says, I had to pay a lot of money to become a citizen. everybody understood that citizenship meant that you couldn't just be grabbed up and flogged because a Jewish mob says so. Citizenship had meaning. What is the meaning in being a U.S. citizen today? Unlike the commander of the Roman guard who said, I had to spend a lot of money to attain my citizenship. Why would you spend a lot of money? It's valuable. Unlike him, who had to spend a huge sum of money to gain citizenship, they're bringing people across the border for free and then providing welfare for them and free health care. And here's some money and here's free food and here's this. Citizenship means nothing. The Roman centurion had to pay a lot of money so that he could have the privilege of citizenship and the rights that came with that, the respect that came with being a Roman citizen. And now everybody just walks in and they're treated better. Hear me now. They're treated better than the actual citizens of this country. They walk in here and they get free health care. You know, that'd be nice. They don't have to come up with thousands of dollars if they've got to go get tests or treatments. It's all covered for free. Citizens of this country don't get that. Free food. Free housing? What does non-citizens are literally treated better by this government than actual citizens of this country. So what is the value of the citizenship? And I'm telling you, judging by the facts and looking at the evidence here, there's no value. The U.S. government holds no value. Your citizenship in this country means nothing. I mean, tell me how I could be wrong about this. Point to the evidence to where I'm wrong about this. What is the value? It seems to be, you know, it seems to be lessening, eroding away day by day. We look around this country. Just here in this country. And the legal system is a farce. It is. The legal system is a farce. A Roman citizen taken to court. Paul winds up in another instance. I go back to this. Paul winds up in another instance, and he's before the authorities once again. And the Jews bring all these accusations against him, which I can't back up. They're just insulting him and claiming he's done this and claiming he's doing this and he's a danger to the state. And the authorities are sitting there like, I'm not seeing any evidence here. And as a Roman citizen, Paul speaks up and says, you know what? Because at one point they say, well, look, the authorities say, we'll take you from here and we'll take you to Jerusalem and we'll hear this case again in Jerusalem. How about that? And Paul says, no. He says, I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar, which meant they had to send him to Rome to directly, as a Roman citizen, he had so much, Roman citizenship at that time meant so much that you could appeal directly to Caesar, and they had to honor it. It didn't matter that the Jews were standing here whining, demanding they be sent to Jerusalem so they could ambush and kill him on the way. It didn't matter that the local Roman authorities were willing to more or less go along with that because, you know, who really cares? I mean, we can get this guy out of our hair and whatever. But the citizenship itself, not Paul as an individual, the citizenship itself meant so much that he stood there and the minute he said, look, I appeal to Caesar, everybody had to stop everything. And they asked again, wait, you're saying you're appealing to Caesar. Is that correct? Yes. I appeal to Caesar. Now everything stops. The discussion of you can go to Jerusalem, we'll talk about it again. All that just went off the table. Because as a Roman citizen, you had the right to appeal directly to Caesar, which meant you were going to go to Rome. You might have to wait years to do so, but you can go before Caesar, and then they can talk about it in front of Caesar, who will have the ultimate say in it. That's how much value. Our citizenship has lost value over time, and people don't realize. Citizenship is supposed to mean something. It doesn't mean you can just come, you can just live on welfare for free. It doesn't mean benefits. It means that it's a respected position. If you're a citizen, you could appeal to Caesar himself, and it had to be honored. Everything stopped. Now the discussion is over. You're being sent to Rome because, you know, that's your right as a citizen. They pass unjust law after ridiculous law. We see these ridiculous affronts to the legal system in this country. And what do they say? Oh, if you don't like it, contact your elected representative. When has that ever worked? They don't care, do they? They don't care. Do you think, if you pick whoever your congressperson or your senator for your state that you live in, let's be real. You, as an American citizen, protected by the Constitution. You, as an American citizen, contact your elected official's office. And they tell them. They call the office, the secretary says, how can I help you? And you say, you let Senator so-and-so know. This is Joe Blow calling from down there in their district, from here in their state. And I want to talk to him about some, and this injustice I've witnessed in the legal system. You're going to get a form letter or something. Now, what happens, do you think, if the head of some corporation calls, regardless of what corporation they're in charge of? What happens if Benjamin Netanyahu or somebody in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, what if they call? Do you think they're going to get a form letter? Your citizenship means nothing. And it's supposed to mean something. My gosh, in Roman days, Paul could appeal directly to Caesar and it had to be honored. You can't even get your congressperson to talk to you on the phone. And in those days, citizenship was valued to the point that you could appeal to go before Caesar himself to have your case heard. And now citizenship in this country means nothing. A corrupt welfare recipient country like the Ukraine, they're free to torture and murder an American citizen and not worry about any kind of consequences, any kind of repercussions. Why? Because it doesn't matter that they're a citizen. What matters is whether or not Victoria Nuland likes him personally. The government doesn't care less. Whatever the case may be, it's undeniable that the citizenship meant nothing. Just the way it makes the government look, you would think they would care about that, but they don't. Once again, understanding these things helps you. If you're dealing with truth and reality, you're going to be better off. I think Gonzalo Lira, to a certain extent, believed it still meant something. That's why he overstayed his welcome. As soon as all this broke out, he should have left the country. That would have been the smart thing to do. And not only did he remain in the country, he continued to speak against the government, the ever-increasingly repressive government of the Ukraine. And the corrupt regime in the Ukraine continued to speak against him while there in the country. Now, we look at this and say, well, that was a foolish decision. And that was correct. It was a foolish decision. There's no way around that. But what would make him, make that decision? And I think it's fair to theorize that maybe a part of what factored into his decision to do so was the fact that he thought his citizenship as a U.S. citizen meant something. That, they might harass me, they might throw me out of the country, but they're not going to throw me in prison and torture me to death because I'm a U.S. citizen. And that means something. Obviously, it doesn't. Understanding these things, if you go in and, don't expect, it's like I always point to the January 6th protesters, going in and thinking you're going to get a fair shake in the legal system in the U.S. because your citizenship means something. Don't have those blinders on. Make your decisions understanding you're not going to get a fair shake. All these people, you see all these people, and they still talk about, you know, the Constitution. And I'm sorry, but if you're counting on that to keep the government in check and to respect you as a citizen, you're operating on some false assumptions, and you're going to get yourself into trouble. Upside of this is the government is still just a system. The government relies on the people to make it work. It's not an independent entity. It depends on people. I always say it doesn't matter how powerful a man is. His power at the end of the day comes from the fact that if you don't do what he says, he can send men with guns to come force you to do what he says. That's where power comes from. If at any point the men with guns tell him, go screw yourself, I ain't going to go do anything you say, then all he is a madman screaming to himself in an empty room. His power comes from people doing what they say. They're undermining their own ability. The government is not a living organism, not a living being of itself. It is made up of people. And as they destroy the value of things such as citizenship, you read these stories now. Now the military is like, oh, we can't get anybody to join. Yeah, no shit. Why do you think? Because they've undervalued, they've undermined the value of what that means. When men with guns say, I'm not doing what you say because you're not legitimate, their power disappears. That is their power. They're completely illegitimate. And they know it to a certain extent, but they rely on people buying into the legitimacy. And things such as this, where your citizenship no longer means anything, means that their own legitimacy is undermined. They're not omnipotent. They're not all powerful. And the things they are doing are self-destructive to themselves. As they continue to highlight and undermine their own illegitimacy, now being a citizen doesn't even mean anything. This guy, Gonzalo Lira, in the big picture of things, is a nobody, okay? He's a nobody. Waving off any value of his citizenship is more destructive to this system, to the regime, to use Dr. Johnson's words, to this system than this guy. In other words, they have threatened what supports them. This is more damaging to them than anything Gonzalo Lira could have ever said. Hell, I've never even listened to the guy. Most people haven't. He was no threat to the system in and of itself. And yet the fact that they themselves have now, once again, not as though it's the first time, given out the message that you're citizens, you mean nothing. When the message gets to the people and enough of them that you mean nothing to the system, your citizenship doesn't mean nothing, who you are doesn't mean nothing, none of these things mean anything, then people withdraw their support. And when that reaches a critical mass and enough people refuse to participate, then guess what you're left with? Some screaming lunatic in an empty room. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope you get a chance. I'll be back tomorrow for the Parish of the Patriots. Hope to see you there amongst the congregation. We have new content Monday through Friday here on Radio Albion. It's all good. I think it's all good, and I hope you'll get a chance to check it out. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.